High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Warning, you're about to enter the arena and join the battle to save America with your host, John Parnell.
What's up, battle crew? It is Monday, and it is a great day to be an American. From sea to shining sea and everyone in between, welcome, patriots. I had a great weekend this weekend. I did. I hope you did as well. We got lots to talk about. I'm going to get into the show rundown, but first, let me give you a quick weekend update. So I live, Fort Parnell, I should say, is located on a small farm in western Pennsylvania. And I probably have close to 4, maybe 5 acres of grass that I have to mow. And I've got to tell you that I am obsessed with cutting the grass. I love it. I, in fact, as spring approaches, Commander Melanie will tell you that I didn't realize this until she actually told me about it, but I will stalk outside, stalk around the house or look out the windows more than I probably should at the grass and stress over having to cut it. Well, this year I have this thing with dandelions and they're everywhere. And I swear to God, those things are fueled by, they grow and are fueled by my hatred for them. I swear it drives me crazy. And again, cutting our grass is no small feat. It takes a little time. And I think on Saturday, I was outside. I was probably working outside by myself, cutting the grass and weed whacking and stuff for a good 6 hours. I mean, seriously, no exaggeration. And it's just absolutely, it's unbelievable to me. And but here's a funny thing about me cutting the grass. This isn't just something that I stumbled into in my 40s. Like, I think I was obsessed with cutting the grass from the time that I was born. And if you ask my parents, they probably tell you that probably within one of my first 10 words was the word lawn mowing. I mean, I was obsessed with lawn mowers that much. Had this little push bubble mower and everything else. The reason why I'm telling you all of this is it's part of my weekend update. One of the hallmarks to me, and I tell my kids this, and I don't think they take me very seriously. I think they kind of laugh this off, but I really believe it, that one of the hallmarks of a good husband and a good father, one of course of many that make up a good husband and good father, is how nice the lawn looks. It's like, how disciplined is, and this isn't a task that just falls to men, right? I get that. But how, if you own a home, if your grass is mowed and it's nice and it's short, then I'm thinking you're probably a pretty disciplined guy. And so anytime my grass grows longer than it should, I get super stressed. But I was walking my son out to school, about to hop in the car and drive him off to school. And he said to me, "Oh my gosh." And I'm like, holy smokes, what's wrong? Because normally it's the morning. He's a teenager. He doesn't talk much. And he said, the grass looks awesome. And I said, I actually said nothing. I was really happy with myself. So maybe my kids are noticing. But I'm sad to say that the dandelions, even though I cut the grass a couple days ago, they're already sprouting up. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy. I'm declaring war on dandelions this summer. I'm coming for you. And now it's going to be relentless, much to the chagrin of probably my wife and my kids. This is going to be my thing this summer. Also, crazy hockey weekend, to and from the rink, probably 20 times. Both of my sons had games. And somebody comes up to the arena, really nice people. But they're wearing masks. And one of the guys had a beard like down to here. First of all, masks don't work. We know that masks don't work. Why are you wearing a mask? I see a mask and I immediately think you're a moron. In 2024, look, to each his own, I understand. I just feel like COVID broke some people mentally and they're not coming back. And again, they were nice people. But clearly your mask isn't going to protect you when you've got a big Grizzly Adams beard and you got this space all on. It's a paper mask. Okay, so let's get into the rundown of the show. So I want to talk to you about the beginnings of and what is ultimately becoming a very, very slippery slope and dangerous. It's a dangerously slippery slope of the American surveillance state. We're going to talk about and confirm the fact that, yes, Biden is 100% behind the lawfare against Donald Trump. Over the weekend, Congress stabbed us all in the back. I'm going to tell you how. Ivy League colleges, and I know I'm going to have kids in college here very, very soon, but Ivy League colleges are just gone. They're lost. So up $90,000 a year to send your kid there to just be indoctrinated. I'm going to show you why they're lost, even though some of you probably already know. And we're going to end the show with a warning to America. You've got to see it. It's just so, so good. Now let's get into the show. Enough talking about cutting grass. Enough talking about crazy people wearing masks. Enough of the weekend update. Let me talk to you about the slippery slope of the surveillance state that we live in. And I guess I'll start with just a question. And this is something that I think about often. And that is, when do you think the last time was that our country, that America, had a truly government that was by and for the people? A government that represented us. Because it seems like for a very, very long time anyway, we've had a permanent bureaucracy, a spy state, a deep state that twisted public perception of certain events, even manipulated public perception of certain events, all in an attempt to maintain control over, say, the system. COVID really opened my eyes to a lot of this stuff. The 2020 election really opened my eyes to a lot of this stuff. And looking back now with the benefit of hindsight, jumping into politics as an outsider and working my tail off to raise money, knock on doors, meet voters, was the privilege of a lifetime, was meeting voters. It really was. And I learned, even though I'm from Western Pennsylvania, from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, forged 5 generations here, I can't quite remember which, but we've been here my whole life. My family's always been here, came up, super blue collar, paycheck to paycheck. Running for office gave me an opportunity to learn more about my community. And I'm grateful for so many things. But I think what I'm most grateful of is that it really gave me a look behind the curtain. It really showed to me how sinister things really were. And I say this, not really were, how sinister things really are. And I say this as somebody who has always been involved in politics in some sort of way, helping advise members of Congress and the Senate from the time I got back from Afghanistan until I ran, till Iran for office, not Iran, the country. But my point is, yeah, I was always involved. Yes, I watched the news. Yes, I kept my ear to the ground, but I would have never, and I mean never, know what I know now had I not run. And the 2020 election, I witnessed people who had flown into Pittsburgh who weren't even from Western Pennsylvania. They were just visiting friends in line in Allegheny County and voting. I'm like, that's illegal. I can almost 100% confirm to you all that first-time mail-in voters, they're required to submit an ID for the first-time voting with their application, with their mail-in ballot. I can almost guarantee you that 99.9% of them didn't do that. Those ballots that are illegal, they shouldn't be counted. The list goes on and on about all of the actual violations of the law that I witnessed that had I not run, I would have never been, you know, I would have probably read the stories and tried to think through things on my own. I certainly wouldn't have bought the media narrative. I would have certainly thought that there was some real misgivings about the 2020 election. But had I not lived it and seen it, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in right now to be able to tell you unequivocally that, yes, in fact, 2020 was stolen. I don't care what anyone says. I'll not be gaslit to believing anything different. And as time goes on, I think that our intelligence community had something to do with it. They've done this in elections all around the world. They despise Trump. They wanted him out of office. And what better time to do it than during an election? That, by the way, you know, any, you know, a hacker with 3 months experience could hack our voting systems. You add mail-in ballots into there with like zero guardrails on protecting those ballots. Like, yeah, real bad things can happen real quick. It allows for cheating on a mass scale. But my point is, all this happened at the same time of COVID, lockdowns, forcing your loved ones to die alone, wear a mask, they'll protect your health. Or first of all, it was masks. They don't work. They don't matter. And then wear one mask, wear two masks, wear five masks, get the vax, get boosted once, twice, three times a lady. Like, all of these things were lies. And for a very long time, I wonder, well, how long has the government been lying to us? Because the truth is that it's almost like our elected leaders don't run our country anymore. It's almost like members of our intelligence community or permanent bureaucrats are the ones that are making all the calls. And I want you to just follow me here. And I'm not going to, you know, justify any of these actions. I just want you to follow my train of thought here. And let's talk as if you're a member of the FBI, a high-level member of the FBI. 9/11 has just happened. Terrorist attack that we've never experienced before in this country. Thousands of Americans dead. Whatever. I mean, I'm just picking a point in American history and going back to there. You're a well-meaning member of the intelligence community. FBI, CIA, what? I don't know. And you say to yourself, like, my mission is to protect the American people. And again, I'm not justifying any of this. Just follow. I'm trying to show you what a slippery slope this is. We had thousands of Americans just killed. Clearly, there were intelligence snafus along the way. My goal, my mission, my charge is to protect as many Americans as humanly possible. So if that means we've got to pass the Patriot Act, if that means that we can listen to foreigners, and yeah, if Americans' data gets scraped up with this FISA stuff, so be it. We're not going to go after Americans. We don't care about Americans. We just want to focus on the bad guys. Of course, we know that's not true. But my point is, you can see almost where there is some goodness in that statement and the idea that, hey, listen, I have no desire of going after the American people. And certainly maybe this is just how this stuff is born, right? Maybe it's born of just nothing but great intentions. But over time, you know, there's changeover at these institutions. Leaders leave. Good people retire, right? Good people move departments. And the same policy remains in place. And over time, it becomes dangerous because then all of a sudden you got political appointees coming on board. Guidance changes. Standards change. You start getting some true believer communists in very critical roles. And all of a sudden you have a real five alarm fire crisis on your hands, to where now you're not just going after foreigners that want to kill foreign terrorist organizations that want to kill Americans. You're going after political opponents. And so I'm saying all this because I'm wondering how the hell a guy like Mike Johnson goes from a lock, stock and barrel sponsoring a Let's Protect the Fourth Amendment Act, protect the like vehemently opposed to FISA, to voting for it in a matter like this, as to become Speaker of the House and immediately stabs people in the back. And I have no doubt in my mind, I showed you multiple examples of reporters, people who have been in this game for a long time, saying that yes, our intelligence community, they have portfolios on every member of Congress, both Democrat and Republican, and if they believe that they are going to vote a certain way, they meet with them and then say, hey, you might want to rethink your vote. And again, think back to where these people were early on. Yeah, we just want to protect Americans. You might ask yourself how anyone could think like that, because clearly, if you're surveilling Americans, no good can come of that. You know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is close to what our intelligence communities have over us as Americans right now. But I mean, you put yourself in their shoes, say your mission is how you want to save as many Americans as possible. And then on the other hand, you got dumbasses like Joe Biden, who have been wrong about every foreign policy decision his whole career, or people like AOC in Congress. And you're thinking like, wait, we're going to let thousands of American lives hinge on these bobos, these morons? So, I mean, you can almost see, again, it's not a justification, but you can almost see where that mindset would come from. Of course, I don't agree with it. But so now you're in a place where you have political appointees that are communist scum that have turned the big eyes and big ears in on the American people. You've had FISA be abused many, many times. Members of Congress clearly being surveilled by the intelligence community, being pressured by the intelligence community to vote a certain way. And then when journalists get wind of this stuff, they start reporting on it. Well, guess what? The intelligence community doesn't like that either. So then they start going after journalists. Remember what Obama did in surveilling American journalists behind the scenes? Really scary, terrible stuff. And then you see stuff like what they did to Cheryl Atkinson. Do you remember that? Well, here she is talking to Matt Gaetz. Listen to what she busted the FBI trying to do to her when she was about to break a story on them. Listen to this.
To be able to clear those matters up.
May I say one little reported facet of my case is one of the federal agents involved in one of the operations against me said that they intended to plant child porn in my husband's computer. This is the FBI. There's been a case that's currently in litigation, unrelated, in which an FBI agent has testified that they did that. They have done that. It was not accomplished in my case. I guess the curtain was drawn on that facet of the operation prior to them doing it. But imagine how you ever get out of that. They knew we had a young daughter at home and had allegedly conspired to do that.
Imagine that. Cheryl Atkinson, one of the few good reporters out there. Catherine Herridge is another one. And there are still good reporters out there, good journalists out there. But you see Cheryl Atkinson about to report on some of our intelligence community's misgivings. And what do? They target her to intimidate her. What do they do to Catherine Herridge? Judges holding her in contempt until she reveals. Democrat judge is holding her in contempt until she reveals her sources, which helped her expose a Chinese spy ring in and around an American military base. I mean, an alleged Chinese spy ring. You see my point, right? And so eventually, journalists get scared. They don't want anyone putting child porn on their loved ones, on their computer, or on their spouse's computer. Guy, you go to jail for the rest of your life, completely destroyed. So journalists say nothing. And then you end up with headlines like this from the New York Times. And yes, you're seeing that, right? This is an opinion editorial in the New York Times today, or over the weekend, I should say. Government surveillance keeps us safe. New York Times, one of the oldest papers in America. What do you say to this? Government surveillance keeps us safe? Because getting a warrant would slow down an investigation and that probable cause may not be available. And this is Western Lensman. If you're not following this account on Twitter/X, you should. He's amazing. But he says, wouldn't want to inconvenience the government with the pesky constitutional protections. And this is what I said. It should be difficult for the FBI to get a warrant on them. It should be difficult for the FBI to surveil Americans. Yeah, get a warrant. And so you can see how dangerous, how what starts as perhaps something with the best of intentions, and I'm trying to give our intelligence members grace because I served with a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys are lock, stock, and barrel conservatives like me and you. And so maybe, you know, what starts out with great intentions, whether you hear the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. Maybe that's a good metaphor for all of this. And so here we are, we're stuck with the eyes of our intelligence community wholeheartedly fixated on the American people and the people that we send to Washington, D.C. to represent us. And that begs the question then, who is really running this country? And do we really have a say anymore? If our representatives cannot truly be our voice, then have we lost our country?
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality, high quality and immersive sound, a sleek design. All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
I want you to see this video that I ran across of McCarthy from back in 1952 talking about communists and government, and listen to it with all that you know today. Listen.
One communist on the faculty of one university is one communist too many. One communist among the American advisors at Yalta was one communist too many. And even if there were only one communist in the State Department, even if there were only one communist in the State Department, that would still be one communist too many.
Communism is an ideology. Marxism, communism is an ideology that is contagious. It leads to what Elon Musk calls the woke mind virus. We're seeing issues of this virus spread all over America, and it's wreaking untold havoc on the American people. And so the untold havoc, not only is it weaponized against us, weaponized against our political leaders, I think it also underscores everything that's happening with this lawfare. There has been this unbelievable media narrative that somehow Biden is not behind this. And every time Republicans go on these Sunday shows or any sort of mainstream legacy media outlet, you have these hosts saying, well, I'm sorry, sir. There's just
no evidence of Biden being involved in any of this. No way, no how. Give me a break.
He is behind all of it. And so a couple things out of New York today. So the bastard in a black robe, skinny little freak looking Angoron, ruled today that Trump's $175 million bond is sufficient. And conservatives are out there celebrating this as a win. And I suppose it is a win. Like, I guess, but Trump should have never had to pay that in the first place. The entire thing's a ridiculous hit job. So yeah, I guess Angoron could have said that he had to pay money out of his own bank account and working with another company to post this bond. I don't know. But hey, we'll chalk up wins anywhere that we can get them at this point. But let's talk about this hush money case. And I don't like even calling it that, because this case is such an unbelievable nothing burger. It's really unbelievable. Reading this article at The Hill, and the headline is "Why Trump Should Win His New York Hush Money Trial." If you haven't read this yet, you should go read it after the show. It does a great job at summarizing everything that's happened in this case, because the news cycle is so fast that it's easy to kind of get lost in the sauce and forget what the catalyst was for this from the very beginning. And so I'm just going to read to you the first paragraph. This case, the first criminal trial for any former president, began as a result of what can only be described as extortion. That's exactly what this was. The infamous Stormy Daniels repeatedly threatened that unless she was paid a chunk of money, that she would go to the media reporting an alleged affair with Trump. Like, it's very, very important to say this. This happened. First of all of this stuff allegedly happened, and I really do emphasize the word allegedly, but all of this stuff happened back in like 2006. I mean, damn near 20 years ago. I mean, it's crazy. But so she comes forward and says, if you don't pay me a sum of money, I'm going to say that we had an affair. And oh, by the way, he had declared for president. So clearly this was intended to hurt him during his run for president. But there has been, to this day, no evidence whatsoever, nothing corroborating Stormy Daniels' claim in an affair. And her credibility is likewise near zero, which is what this article says. And so this whole trial is over what you would call a campaign finance violation. And that's how Bragg elevated this to a federal crime, which is completely absurd, because the Federal Election Commission, which investigates these things, had already said there's no crime. Look, I'm just trying to outline how insane and absurd this is. Where you have left-wing people coming out and saying this is a joke, chances are it's a joke. And so misrecording business records in New York is a misdemeanor. So in other words, what the defense is alleging is that Trump paid Michael Cohen a legal retainer, and then that legal retainer was used to pay Stormy Daniels. Okay. And what the defense is saying is, well, you use that legal Michael Cohen, you paid Michael Cohen so he could pay off Stormy Daniels. But Trump at the time, he was just, lots of things were going through his mind, right? He had just jumped in for president. He was clearly the front runner. He had a family. He had a business. As a public figure, people come forward and say this kind of stuff all the time. And so here's Trump is saying, well, we'll just pay this lady and have her sign an NDA and have this whole thing go away. Now, I have to emphasize this. This stuff happens all the time, not just to people like Trump, but to businesses all over the country. This is called a nuisance payment. So rather than staff up on lawyers and go to discovery and prep for trial and all the legal fees there, businesses pay nuisance payments like this all the time. It's completely legal. Trump even categorized, he didn't even write this stuff off, right? So in other words, he's like trying to evaluate things in his mind several different ways. Okay, do I want, so if I don't like just write this off as a nuisance payment, so what, this crazy lady is going to come out, going to accuse me of stuff that never happened. I got an organization to think of. I have a business to think of. I have a family to think of. Melania and her and young son, Barron, not to mention Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Tiffany. I don't want them to have to deal with this. I'm running for president. I got Obama and Biden, the two most corrupt Democrats in the history of the country, along with Hillary, just looking for things to attack me with. So it's just far easier just as a nuisance payment just to pay this porn star and walk away, right? That's it. That's all of this in a nutshell. All of it is completely legal. And so what the defense's argument is that, oh, Trump didn't mark down in his ledger that he was paying Michael Cohen to pay Stormy Daniels off. So what the defense is arguing is that Trump should have written down extortion payment in his ledger. I mean, it's like, what do you write down there? Hush money payment, even though it wasn't even a hush money payment. Who even knows if this went down the way it went down? I mean, this is just such a joke. So. The guy that's prosecuting this case, I'm trying to keep this as, with all the legalese out of it and as simple as humanly possible for you all. But the guy that's prosecuting this case is a guy named Michael Colangelo. He today gave the opening argument in the Trump prosecution. So to me, this guy used to work for Merrick Garland. He was number three in the Merrick Garland Department of Justice. He demotes himself to go work as a line prosecutor, despite never having worked as a line prosecutor or even a defense attorney in his entire career, was a political appointee, Democrat hack for his entire career under Obama and then again under Biden. He demotes himself from the Department of Justice to go work on a state prosecution for one reason and one reason only, and that was to get Trump. So this guy, a lifelong left-wing activist, including an NAACP lawyer for 7 years. He was a senior White House economic advisor to President Obama, top aide to Obama Labor Secretary and future DNC chair Tom Perez, top lawyer to Obama DOJ Civil Rights Division head Tom Perez. Colangelo has never served as a line prosecutor or defense attorney. He's simply a senior Democrat operative brought in by Bragg to get Trump. What I just told you is 100% true. And everything that Colangelo his entire case hangs on Michael Cohen, who served time in prison for lying. And so here's the thing with all of this that you all need to understand. None of this actually matters, because all of this is a complete and total sham. All of this it doesn't matter. Like, none of this matters. It's all a complete sham. It's all about keeping Trump in court while Biden campaigns. It's all about bankrupting Trump and hurting Trump's ability to raise money. That's it. Think about the jury composition. If you're the Democrats, everybody considers this case to be a joke. The only reason you bring this case is that you hope you get a stacked jury with 12 hardcore Dems that convict. That's it. Hope that you get lucky. The truth is that as horrible as Judge Mershon is, he does have a duty to get the political makeup on the jury as mixed and diverse as humanly possible. Otherwise, he opens himself up for appeal and all this other stuff. So my point is the process corrupted? Of course it is. But Trump might have a shot of getting one person on that jury that is sympathetic to him, or, you know, gets his news from Truth Social, which one of the jurors does, by the way. And all it takes is one juror to say, nope, I'm not buying this. And then the entire jury is hung, There's a new trial. That trial will happen after Election Day. And that, to me, is the most likely outcome. Now, here's the really crazy thing, and I hope I'm not spending too much time on this, but the really crazy thing about this is that Trump doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being found innocent, found not guilty. There's not a chance in hell. Why? Because it requires all 12 jurors to rule unanimously on that. So what does it say about our justice system if we already know that there is no feasible way, even though this case is a joke in every single way? There's no way for him to be found innocent, because no way in New York City 12 jurors are going to come out and say, oh, not guilty. Another thing that I was thinking about with this case, and I was texting some of the lawyer friends that I know, by the way, I don't like lawyers at all, for the record. Sorry if you're watching, listening, and are a lawyer. Lawyers drive me crazy. But I said, what about the statute of limitations? If this happened in 2006, clearly the statute of limitations has to be up. Well, get this. So New York's criminal procedure law establishes that the statute of limitations is 2 years for misdemeanors and 5 years for felonies, barring exceptions for certain heinous crimes like rape or murder. So, like, clearly this happened back in 2006. Clearly the statute of limitations is up. Okay. So, but here, so now New York law does identify a couple ways to stop the statute of limitations clock. If the defendant was continuously outside New York State, or if the defendant's whereabouts were continuously unknown and continuously unascertainable by the exercise of reasonable diligence, then the clock is tolled. So in other words, all Bragg is doing is arguing that Trump was in the White House or Trump was in Mar-a-Lago or in Florida, so the clock stopped. That is completely insane. It is completely insane. So that's the backdrop to all of this. And here's the real kicker. The media is out there talking about this trial as if it's like the OJ trial, covering it as if it's anything else but a complete sham. It's a complete joke. Yet they're just like, well, the judge said this. Oh my gosh. Like it's the OJ trial all over again. Listen to Dana Bash. She's going back and forth with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. And listen to what she says. Oh, there's no evidence. Just wait for it. It's coming. Listen to this.
President Trump paid his legal fees. He paid his Michael Cohen legal fees and bills. And that's what this trial will bring forward, hopefully, is the truth. What a ridiculous case that this is, and that it's based on the narrative today that is coming from a man who is proven to be a liar. So I'm hoping that this judge makes the right decision. I'm hoping these jurors can come in and be unbiased, and we'll let this case go forward in a swift manner that allows President Trump to get back on the campaign trail. Americans deserve to hear from their candidates, and the Democrats and the activists are using this trial to derail him, to keep him in court instead of out talking to Americans about what their real concerns are. And their real concerns are their everyday lives. They need a leader in the White House who gets up every day and puts them first and doesn't raise their taxes, doesn't overregulate them, take away their freedoms, and give all our money to other countries instead of making sure that we're taking care of America first and keeping us safe and secure.
I just want to say for the record, there's absolutely no evidence that President Biden is involved in this. This is a case that is being brought in the state of New York by the Manhattan
and
DA.
Oh, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. Come, are you kidding me, lady? Biden sent the number three guy who demoted himself to go work with Pudge Alvin Bragg to go after Trump. I just laid it all out there. How in God's name? Our media is such a unbelievable, pathetic joke. And if you need, look, I saw this from one of my favorite accounts. This Maze posted this, but I also think this was created by our friends at Grabian. Our media, they are just such a joke. Like, listen to some of these people talk about Trump, specifically Michael Cohen, who in this clip is going to talk about Trump annexing Canada and Mexico.
This man, the entire criminal case in New York hinges on Michael Cohen's testimony. And here he is on video, along with a bunch of intergalactic douche canoes, talking about how Trump is going to be Hitler and how he's going to annex Canada and Mexico and a whole host of other just insane things. You got to hear this. Listen.
A second Donald Trump term look like?
Well, he cannot be the next president. Because if he is,
you can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada. We can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America
and shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah,
that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed, especially minority groups in society.
You might have any number of things happen to you and your family.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
He's going to basically burn the house down.
He will unravel the institutions of our democracy.
Draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler.
Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini.
Makes Donald Trump even more dangerous.
He wants to take away your vote.
Senate and the House are immediately going to be paralyzed.
People will begin in their minds to censor themselves. They might say, well, maybe I shouldn't say this.
This is the end of democracy.
I think that could be the end of our democracy.
Democracy is dead if Trump is reelected.
Okay, that's half of the video. It goes on for 3 minutes, but you get the idea. These people are such a joke. Meanwhile, this is all stuff that they said over the last year. Meanwhile, there is a Democrat garbage liberal in the U.S. House of Representatives right now putting forth legislation to strip Donald Trump of his Secret Service protection. They literally want this man dead. The left is just completely out of control, which is why Trump, when he wins in November, there has to be a measure of accountability for what's going on in this country right now, because the Democrats, the left, they are an existential threat to America, and there's no question about it. Okay, let's move on. First, got some alerts from Aunt Cindy, real Aunt Cindy USA, Beth Parm. Thank you so much for the Rumble Rant tip. Myron, thank you so much. He says, from Fort Thompson to Fort Parnell, God bless. Beth, thank you both so much. Again, 100% of these Rumble Rants goes to building this new studio, and this show's not possible without you. Thank you both. Let's talk about Congress over the weekend.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
You know, Savage Rich and I, and I talk often on this show about how our members of Congress, at least Republican members of Congress, don't represent our base well. But I think ultimately this speaks to a bigger problem. And again, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but I think we've got to do a better job at sending people who truly care about us to Washington. You know, oftentimes we don't hold terrible Republicans' feet to the fire. We don't hold them accountable. And this week, I saw something in the U.S. House of Representatives that I've never seen before. And that was the Democrats celebrating this $60 billion of aid to Ukraine. Mike Johnson, of course, pushes this garbage. Democrats get the ball across the goal line with this funding package. The American people clearly don't support this. I saw Democrat members of the House of Representatives waving Ukrainian flags, not American flags, but Ukrainian flags, almost taunting the American people who just want to be able to pay their bills and focus on the issues that we have here in America and not fund forever wars. Watch this. I just think that's unbelievably insulting. And I can't remember the last time that I saw a group of Democrats ever waving the American flag. I can't remember the last time Democrats talking about how much they loved America or, you know, filming themselves, making calls to their constituents, talking about how they're taking care of them. Like, look at this idiot calling Ukraine moments before this vote. This is a Democrat Representative Crow. Listen.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Hey. Good. It's good to see you. I just wanted to give you an update that I'm about to walk across the street from my office here in Washington, and we're going to take the vote right now. We're voting right now for aid for Ukraine to give you the support you need. So we're going to get this passed out of the House of Representatives. We're going to send it to the Senate. The Senate will vote on it soon. We're behind you. We're rooting for you. We're going to give you the support that you guys all need right now to fight and win.
Thank you. So do you think it would be passed today?
I think it's going to be passed in the House of Representatives today, yes. I think it's going to pass in like a half an hour. I think it's going to pass.
And what's the next step?
Then the next step is then it goes to the Senate, which is our other body in Congress, and the Senate will vote on it probably Monday or Tuesday, and I think it'll pass there too. Well, we believe in you. We're behind you. You're doing an amazing job. Your bravery, your courage is just inspiring to all of us. So we're going to pass this bill. I talked to the administration. They're actually getting weapons and ammunition and equipment ready right now.
I've had enough. Thank you. Oh, he sounds really, really excited. You know, these Ukrainian oligarchs, you know, they're going to be able to go out and buy more yachts. They're going to go out and buy more sports cars. They're going to be able to go out and buy more mansions. We're spending our taxpayer dollars on Ukrainian pensions, and Democrats just seem to be over the moon. Look at Representative Keating from Massachusetts, who's a garbage Democrat, talking to Zelensky about this.
Hello, sir. Bill Keating from Massachusetts. Good to see you. And I have something that you're really going to like.
Yeah.
Come on. This is the official tally of the vote.
Yes, I see.
For the supplemental aid.
Yes.
And look at that vote. 73%.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much. 73.
That's a good vote.
Good. Very good.
Thank you so much. Thank you. 73. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Imagine if our members of Congress worked this hard for the American people. Have you ever seen them give a damn about the American people like they care about Ukraine? It's absolutely unbelievable. And by the way, I almost guarantee you that Trump is not okay with how all this went down. Johnson did a presser with him down at Mar-a-Lago before Johnson cobbled together this abomination of a deal to give the illusion, or at least the impression, that Trump was on board with it. I'm here to tell you that he is not happy about the way that Johnson negotiated this. And what's more is that this from Politico, the headline, Russian military replaced Ukraine battlefield losses far faster than expected, general warns. And I quote from the article, the Russian army is actually now larger by 15% than it was when it invaded Ukraine. The proxy war has been a complete failure. This is my friend Amber saying this. The Ukraine proxy war has been a complete failure. All we're doing is wasting money in Ukrainian lives. Exactly right. We are sending Ukrainians into the meat grinder. And listen to what the Kremlin said about this. Their spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, on Saturday called the approval of aid to Ukraine expected and predictable. The decision will make the United States of America richer, further ruin Ukraine, and result in the deaths of even more Ukrainians, the fault of the Kiev regime. Peskov was quoted as saying by the Russian news agency RIA Novosti, the new aid package will not save, but on the contrary, will kill thousands and thousands more people, prolong the conflict, and bring even more grief and devastation. I mean, look, I don't give a damn about Vladimir Putin. If he died tomorrow, I would not care. I don't care. And obviously, the only thing that's incorrect about this statement, though, is that this does not make the United States of America richer. This makes the military-industrial complex here in America richer. And what kills me and what upsets me so much about this is that our tax dollars being sent to Ukraine, it's right. It will prolong what is this protracted stalemate. It will result in more Ukrainian dead. It will enrich the military-industrial complex, all while Americans suffer. That's my number one. I just think it's important for our leaders to have their priorities straight, that we should not be funding and protecting other countries' borders and funding other nations' wars when Americans are having trouble paying the bills and feeding their families. We have lots of issues here in this country, lots of pathologies here in America that require our full attention. You know, if you've got serious issues in your own home, you've got no business going out and try to fix somebody else's house. Get your own house in order first. That's how I feel about America right now. But I don't feel like our elected leaders understand that. I feel like our priorities are so messed up. And what's more is that the vast majority of Republicans voted for this insanity, which means that the vast majority of Republicans don't understand how we the people really feel. I mean, who would have thought that at some point, like when America, I mean, we have not been economically weak as this since Jimmy Carter. In fact, we're way worse off today than we were even back then, as horrible as it was back then. It's worse today. Our military is in shambles. Our border is in shambles. Crime is on the rise. We're being invaded at our southern border. Yet, members of Congress in America are waving Ukrainian flags. Talk about being out of touch. I feel like this country is in rough, rough shape. I mean, I'm happy. I love this country. I think we're the best country on the face of the planet. It's going to take a lot to bring us down. But the Democrats seem to be moving out and drawing fire on all fronts. And you know, something I've been watching today has been bothering me. And that's this narrative from Republicans that there's going to be a motion to vacate Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with Thomas Massie and some other very principled Republicans who I like and admire, are talking about a motion to vacate. First of all, the motion to vacate rule, you all know how I feel about that. I'm not going to go into it. It's really, really important for you all to know that there is no ousting Mike Johnson. The Democrats won't allow it. The Democrats are getting everything that they want from Mike Johnson. They're not going to allow this guy to be ousted. They're going to vote to bail him out every single time. And they're going to stand alongside squished Republicans who got us into this problem in the first place. So listen to Ro Khanna talk about standing with Mike Johnson. I mean, again, if Democrats are praising you, you know you're doing something wrong. Listen.
Does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out?
He does. Look, we came into Congress together.
And he always cared about civility. He actually led the civility pledge.
That's right. Yeah.
We had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I give him credit for doing this. I would actually vote to table any motion to vacate him. You know, Chairman McCaul quoted Churchill. One of the things Churchill said is that America always exhausted every wrong option until doing the right thing. Yeah. And this shows that American democracy still is very strong.
Okay, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you will protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him.
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Jeffers will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues and have been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his.
That should tell you something. Dems are going to save this guy. And even if Republicans did get on board with a motion to vacate, you can bet that with the majority as slim as it is, that you might have some squish Republicans screwing us over. And again, you might end up with an Akeem Jeffries speakership, which this is just the Republicans in the House of Representatives. Yeah, we might have won a majority, but I have to say they've done just an absolutely terrible job. They have not done a good job at being a stopper for any Biden priority. And listen, sometimes we don't send members of Congress down to Washington to get things done. I mean, I think that's a big misnomer. Sometimes you go with representing your people in mind to stop everything that the Biden administration is doing. Hell, I don't give a damn what any of our Pennsylvania Republicans here that are members down in Washington, I don't give a damn what any of them get done. Just stop everything that Biden's doing to make this country a hell of a lot better place, but they can't even seem to manage something simple like that. We have a majority in the House of Representatives. Biden should not be getting anything done. Nothing. But here we are. The new Democrat Party is on the march, firing on all cylinders, and Republicans are barely a blip on the radar, surrendering at every tough fight. It makes me sick to my stomach. Okay, let me talk to you quickly about Ivy League colleges. They seem to be lost. What I had witnessed from some of these Ivy League colleges over the weekend, especially Columbia, which is right there in the heart of New York. And isn't it interesting that you've got New York City has become just like a communist haven where you've got an innocent man being put on trial in one part of New York, and right down the road at Columbia, you have, you know, pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers blocking Jews from getting to class, things like visuals that are reminiscent of the Nazis prior to the Holocaust. It's absolutely ridiculous. Watch this video of this Orthodox Jew just trying to get to class, trying to get around campus while these pro-Hamas sympathizers prevent him from doing that. Watch. Listen.
You're literally touching us.
You can walk through us.
We're here.
You're at the top.
Don't get in my way.
You're trying to walk around. You're surrounding. You're pounding. I mean, again, you wonder how something like how as horrific as the Holocaust could happen. You look at some of these images, and it's pretty easy to see how. And you talk about history repeating itself. Like, look at this from Ian Miles Chong on X. He says, history repeats itself. And let me show you here. This is a picture of Nazis prevent Jews students from entering. Nazis with their arms locked, preventing Jews from entering in the college. And you go over here. This is Yale students form a human chain to block a Jewish student from entering the university. This is exactly, almost exactly the same as what happened back then. And what's unbelievable to me is that Biden, you know, as he stumbles and bumbles through the late phases of his life, he talked about being on the campaign trail or deciding to run for president when he saw Charlottesville. Of course, his entire run for presidency is based on a hoax. Isn't that appropriate for somebody who's been a pathological liar his entire career that his run for presidency was based on something that didn't happen. But he said he ran for president because of what he saw, what happened in Charlottesville. But what's been happening under Biden at all these universities, first of all, it actually happened. Charlottesville was a joke. There were some, like, you know, white supremacists there, I guess, but the whole hoax around the fine people stuff, Democrats blew that up and said that Trump said that there were fine people on either side. And the media, along with Democrats, pushed this talking point that Trump was somehow responsible for these whack job white supremacists who were there, even though Trump's not responsible. He can't be responsible for that, but they're giving Biden a pass for unbelievable, terrible things that are happening on our college campuses, you know, attacking, surrounding these Jews. And by the way, this isn't freedom of speech. You don't, like, you can, in America, you can shout some of the most offensive garbage out there. That's part of living in a free country. That what you just witnessed, what I narrated for our friends who are listening, that wasn't free speech. You know, being physical, getting in someone's face, restricting where they go. The people go to school there. This is far beyond freedom of speech. And listen, this isn't, flip it around. Imagine it was a bunch of white supremacists doing this to young black kids, college kids on campus. How fast do you think the Department of Justice would be on those campuses? How fast do you think police would be on those campuses breaking that garbage up? They wouldn't wait at all. They would be there. That just shows you what's happening on our campus and what's being done to some of these kids who are Jews who are just trying to go to college and get an education, being harassed by terrorist sympathizers. All this is happening under Biden, and not a single damn member of our press corps has bothered to ask, like, hey, sir, like, what do you think about this? Well, actually, he was asked about it today. Do you know what he said? He said, I condemn the anti-Semitic protests, Biden tells reporters. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with Palestinians, the Palestinians. So it's almost like Biden is saying that there are fine people on both sides. It's like Biden is both sizing the issue. It's crazy to me. And the media is just like, fine people stuff under Trump, total hoax. Let's build a whole narrative around it. Actual racism, horrific racism, and genocidal rhetoric on Ivy League institutions all over America. Let's give it. Biden says there are fine people on both sides. He condemns both sides of this. Oh, that's just because Biden's a nuanced thinker about an immensely complicated issue. Are you freaking kidding me? What a joke. Okay. Let's talk about a warning to America. This is from Western Lensman. Again, if you haven't followed this guy on X or Twitter, you should. But this is a warning to America and 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed, explained in under 2 minutes. So I want you to watch this. Listen.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1. Open borders and illegal immigration. 2. Rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3. Mass addiction and fentanyl. 4. Election insecurity and interference. 5. The educational indoctrination of children. 6. The asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7. The destruction of private property rights. 8. Inflation and debt. 9. The global depopulation agenda. 10. Record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11. Unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12. Toxic food supply. 13. Vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14. The trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15. Overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16. Destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17. DEI and the new racism. 18. Moral and societal decay. 19. The financing of endless foreign wars. 20. The sprawling surveillance state. 21. The centralization and consolidation of government power. 22. The destruction of trust in institutions. 23. the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
There you go. Never stop fighting. Never quit. Never surrender. We can't quit on America. I'm telling you, folks, thank you all for watching. I've got an amazing show planned for you tomorrow. I'm already cobbling it together for you. I'm putting everything I have into the show. Thanks for everybody who left a Rumble rant, Super Chats tip. So, so grateful for you. We're going to continue to bring the heat on this show. And you know, hold both Democrats and Republicans accountable for their failures in Washington and ultimately failing we the people. This show is and will always be for you. I'm so grateful to have you all in this audience. You are the best audience on the face of the planet. Make sure that you like this episode. Smash that little green thumb beneath this video. Tell your family and your friends to subscribe to Battleground Live, because we need them in the trenches in the fight to save this country. As always, folks, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you all. And God bless this amazing, amazing country that we call home. Take care and good night. See you tomorrow.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better, your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland, a man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.